Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Sunday the 23rd of November, of Amos Wittenberg. Edom is Rome. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored. Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb Eliezer ben Reb Chaim Yisrael HaKohen, Zecher Livrocho, and Reb Chaim Yisrael ben Reb Yaakov HaKohen, Zecher Livrocho.
Good Chodesh, I've been told that I have mamash a limited amount of time and I should stop at 22:10 on the dot, so my watch goes on the standard and I'll keep an eye on it. So in these days, in this space of our history, we are mainly preoccupied with Yishmael for a very good reason. After all, this Yishmael who is out to kill us at this moment, and Baruch Hashem, all in all, he's not all too successful. Although, as we know, and as we have seen, if he manages to get through our defenses, he does not so much kill, he butchers, he maims, he hacks to death, and he's totally in keeping with his essential nature, which is that he is a pere odom, which means that he is a pere in the first place and only in the second place an odom. And we see this. However, we should not forget that the galus that we are in, or more precisely, the malchus that we live under, is not Malchus Yishmael. There is no such thing as a Malchus Yishmael. Yishmael, as we can see with our own eyes, if we open up a newspaper, Yishmael is not capable of Malchus whatsoever. He couldn't even make a dent in a soft bag of butter if he wanted to. In the entire Arab world, there is not one single car factory, for example. Every single state that tries democracy or liberal way of building up a state will immediately fail, fall in the hands of wild animals. So it seems to me that there's only the two things. Either they are personal fiefdoms of dictators, or they are complete chaos where everybody kills everybody else. Mamish. You see this with our own eyes. But Edom is a different matter. Edom is a Malchus. And so tell Chazal that we live in Golos Edom, and Edom is a Malchus. It has certain royal qualities. Edom has certain state-building capacities and capabilities and accomplishments. We see it in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when the Umos HaOlam are being called to give Dibur Cheshbon of the behavior throughout world history, and Rome comes and claims, we have built bridges, we have instituted tax systems, we have organized markets. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Shaltim Sheba'olam, you all did this only for your own good, and you didn't do it for yourself. But he doesn't say Shakonim, he says Shaltim. Because they did build bridges, they make markets, they have given us a law system, which in most of the world, the law is based on Roman law. Not in this country, but in most countries in the world, it is based on Roman law. So, these weeks we are in the middle of the parshas that relate the various confrontations between Yaakov Avinu and his twin brother Esav. And therefore, it is possibly good for us to look at a little bit more closely at who is this Esav and who is this Malchus Edom that comes from him. It is said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was ausik in Pidyon Shavuyin, he traveled very often to Rome. Whenever he went to Rome, he chazat iba these three parshas, Taldas, Vayetz, and Vayishlach, in order to find guidance, how does one approach Edom? And Rav Moshe Sternlicht just reminded me that when Menachem Begin was to meet Sadat, he went to Rav Shach, and he asked an Eitzah, what should I do? And Rav Shach said, it's very simple. You're a preske, you know what to do. You chazal iba these three parshas and learn all the mafashim, learn how you approach how you approach. It's interesting that he said it legabe Sadad, who is Yishmael. But no, it is not true. The organization of politics in the world has nothing to do with what race a person is from. The global the global system of government, the global parameters in which we think politically are the parameters of Edom. It's Malchus Edom. The world is under Malchus Edom. This is a very, very important principle. So we see that Chazal identify Edom with Rome. Edom zu Romi. There are many, many, many places in Chazal where you can see this. Most famously, you find it in the Gemara Gittin, Nun Zayin on a base, where it says, Hayudaim Yidei Esav zu Malchus Ogoshon, Shechriva es. It says, Botenu, there's no Yud there, Botenu, they destroyed our houses. And then, V'sofo es Hecholenu, that refers to Beis HaMikdosh, V'klisonu Me'atzenu, and they banished us from the land. However, we find a further phenomenon in the identification of who is Edom. Namely, we find that Edom is not only identified with Rome, as in Roman Empire, but also with Rome, as in our days, the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I'm going to refer to this predominant religion in the culture in which we live, within the walls of this holy place. I do not want to use names that are mechu'orim, that are ugly, that therefore I will refer to this religion as Axianity. It reminds Axianity. Axianity. It reminds me of a certain mathematician. He was of Jewish descent. And he lectured in Notre Dame University in the United States, which is the Catholic University, and they said, doesn't it bother you? He says, no, there are just too many plus signs around. Right? So I will refer to this religion as Axianity, and the adherents of this religion as Axians. So we find the identification of Edom with Rome is Axianity. A good friend of mine the other day challenged me and said, this is all a later addition. Originally, what Chazal actually meant was Malchus HaMashor, Malchus HaZodan, the people who destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh. Certainly, the Axians did not destroy the Beis HaMikdosh. That they didn't do. So, this whole equation, Edom, Rome, Axianity, that is a later, that is comes from our Golus. Among them, we suffered from, of course, we suffered a lot from their hatred for us. But Chazal did not originally mean that. So his contention was essentially, what are you talking about? When Chazal say Edom is Rome, they mean nothing. Then Pshuta Kamashma, it is the Roman Empire. Of course, in the later sources, we find quite often, quite openly, this equation Edom, Rome, Axianity. Let me quote you one example. You find in Yeshayahu in Perek Lamed Dalet, you find the Nevuah against Edom, and you find there that the Malbim was a 19th century parish. He says, "Vehinei Edom kaure," he means Nikre, "ha'om hayodua shehoyu alfde psilim kachovim." This is an idolatrous nation. Ubotso, the city Botso, is mentioned there in the Pasuk. Hoyo Rausch ir emunosom, Sheshom Yosef Hakarin ho Rausch. There sits the high priest. Vaosom Kaure Amchermi, in the Pasuk, the expression Amchermi is being used. And these people are called Amchermi because there's a Cherem is decided against them in Hashomayim. Shehi Botso, Sheyeshla Ato, Riv Emuno. Now, you don't have to look very, very deeply to see that the Malbim is talking about Axianity here. He doesn't use those words. After all, he lives in a time that the censor looks over his shoulder, but he quite clearly means Axianity. There's a city, it's a big city, there's an upper galach sitting in that city, and there is a quarrel between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this nation about their religious beliefs, about their emunah. But Malbim, of course, is basically of our time. He is a giant, most assuredly, but he is an Acheron an Acheron of Acheronim. He's only 150 years ago. And perhaps my friend was right. And authentic, in our authentic tradition that goes very, very back to Chazal, we cannot really say more than Edom is Rome, and as in the Roman Empire. But really, is that all there is to it? Are we not required to show a little bit more Emunas Chachamim? If the Malbim says such a thing, surely the Malbim is not making this up. He's not going off on a tangent and just expressing his own opinion and using psukim in the Holy Novi to smuggle in what is basically a Das Atzma. And if you look a little bit more closely, then you see no lesser authorities than, for example, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam in his Sefer Milchamas Hashem. You find the Redak all over the place in the Sperish in Tehillim. You find it in the Sperish in Kree Osser. Don Yitzchak Abravanel, he's of course a little bit later, but Don Yitzchak Abravanel mentions in more than one place that Edom, Rome, axiality is one equation. So maybe you can say, all right, the earliest source, Wittenberg, that you have quoted is Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam. You're talking already after the time of Chazal, maybe he made it up. Now, I'm going to put before you a couple of puzzling facts. In the first place, the Roman Empire fell, Rosh Hashanah time, in 476 in the common era. That was when the last Roman emperor was overthrown. His name was Romulus Augustulus, the little Augustus. And he was overthrown because basically the last 50 years the Roman Empire hardly existed. It was under the control of the invading peoples, the Goths. And the post of Roman Empire emperor was mainly a formality. And he was kicked out in 476. It happens to be 50 years after the Petir of Rav Ashi. Now, you may think the Gemara was already finished, but of course not, because Rav Ashi did not finish the Gemara. The Gemara was finally finished by Ravina, who was a Talmid of Rav Ashi, and Ravina died 1 year before the Roman Empire fell, when the last nominal Roman Empire emperor was deposed. However, the Roman Empire had been in decline already for 100 years. Why in the world would Rav Ashi and Ravina leave all these references to Rome and Malchus Romi and Malchus Edom as our last exile in the Gemara when they could see in front of their eyes that it was about to fall? Nevertheless, they talk about the Gula comes much later. It will last for a long time. It is Chal Shechal Penei Tahom. Tahom is a very, very deep pit. Indicating that the last Golus will last for a very, very long time. So, already from this negative fact, you can see that Malchus Edom equals Rome is meant to mean something far more than just the Roman Empire. Another puzzling fact is, and I'm going out on a limb here a little bit, because I may safely assume that on the bookshelves in your homes there is not a Quran or an Axiom Bible, but I am not so innocent, and I have a whole library of schmutz that I keep safely away in my study. If you open the Quran and you look, you know, the also Ish, the man that we usually wrongly referred to as the founder of Christianity, is no such thing. But this man is mentioned in the Quran a number of times. In fact, numerous times. And you look up what is the name that they use for this man. You see that his name is called Issa. Ayin Sin Alf. In our Osios. You know, Arabic Osios and our Osios are virtually the same. He's called Issa. But if you look in the Arabic language, Christian literature, sorry, Axial literature, before the rise of Islam, there were Axians in the Arabic peninsula, and so there were Jews In fact, it was about one-third pagan, one-third Axian, one-third Jewish. And if you then look what name they used, they called him Yasu. For a very good reason. You take his Greek name and you transliterate it in Arabic, it's Yasu. Even if you take his purported Hebrew name, Yimach Shemoy Vezichroy, the Rosh Tevas, then, and you transliterate that in Arabic, you get Yasu. So why would early Islam call him Isa? Well, it's not so hard to see which name they actually mean. It is Ayin Sin Aleph, which is Esav. They call the man Esav. Now, you have to ask yourself, where did this Meshuggah, the Rambam calls the prophet of Islam, HaMeshuggah, where did this Meshuggah get his ideas from? Well, he traveled around in the area and he met with various people. He met with Axians, he met with Jews, and he took from them what he heard. What did he hear from Jews? When they spoke about this man, they apparently called him Esav. He certainly didn't hear this from Axians. They wouldn't call him that. I can prove to you that they wouldn't call him that. Now I'm going to tell you a story. Keep my eye on the clock. It was April the 13th, 1986, when the Pope, John Paul II, paid an official visit to the Great Synagogue in Rome. This was the first time that a Pope visited a synagogue. And he addressed the Olam there in Rome. And the Pope referred, among other things, to the progress in the relationship between Jews and Axians, and that since the Vatican Council, whatever it was, there was a better atmosphere. And then he said, and I quote now from his words, "The Jewish religion is not extrinsic to us, but rather it is in a certain way intrinsic to our religion. In this regard, therefore, we have affinities that we have with no other religion. You are..." Listen very carefully to what the man said. "You are our well-beloved brethren, and in a certain way, one could say, our elder brothers." Very nice, elder brothers. So according to the chief rabbi of Rome, Elio Toav, not known as an outstanding Talmud Chochem, but he chaired the meeting, and he reported later that the whole room was clapping. "Oh, the Pope says we are his elder brothers." However, what did he mean? And now I must do something which I hate to do here, but I have to quote from the Axian scriptures. Namely, from the letter of a Roman citizen, his name was Paul, who claims to have been a Jew, very doubtful if he actually was. He was a Roman citizen, and he wrote to the Romans, the Axians in Rome. You can't get more Edoim than this. A Roman citizen... citizen writing to people in Rome. And he quotes Romans 9, verse 12. "Not only so, but also Rebecca, Rivka, having conceived by one, even our father Isaac." In other words, there were no two fathers, there were no two mothers. It's not like Avram and Hagar and Avram and Sarah that you have a child from one mother and so on. No, these were twins. "Rebecca, having conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but by of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Even as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." What did the Pope mean? He meant exactly this. He meant that we are Esau and he is Yaakov. We are the elder brother and he is Yaakov. This is nothing new. This is exactly why Chazal saw, and with an inerring precision, pointed their finger and said, "You want to know where Esav is? is right there in that ideology. Why? Because Esav sone Yaakov. There's a huge difference between Yishmael, who is an Oyev, an enemy, and Esav, who is a sone, a hater. The Gaon points out that there is the difference between the two. He learns it from the Pasuk. I won't go into the technicalities, I don't have time for that, of how the Gaon learns. But the upshot is the following. An Oyev has an Eva, he has an envy, he has a quarrel with you. Why? You have something that he wants. And this is exactly the quarrel that we have with Yishmael. We have Eretz Yisrael, he wants it. And that's why he will kill us wherever he can find us. Would we not have a quarrel with him, he wouldn't have a problem with us. However, Esav is a Sone. Now the Loshen of Sone is a Loshen of Sheni. Sone and Sheni are very close to each other. In fact, Maharal says that HaSinai is called Sinai, because the sinner came into the world. What does it mean? It means that the Umos HaOlam were first before Matan Torah, because the nation of Yisrael was not yet singled out. And since Matan Torah, they became second. Not because they themselves fell, but we rose. This is something that they cannot stomach. And there's a sinner against us because of that. Esav's sinner for us is that he is a Sheni, and he doesn't want to be a Sheni, he wants to be his elder brother. That was what the Pope was saying. Exactly that. He was an unbelievable chutzpah. He sits there in the shul, and that's what he says. He wants to be a... So if Esav doesn't want to be a Sheni, he wants to be the first, he wants to be the Rausch. Goyim. Amalek. He wants to be a Rausch. And Amalek is the mamzer that comes from Esav. It is Esav going to the full extreme of his riches. If that is so, then our presence in the world is the biggest stumbling block for them to reach that what they want, namely to be the first. So therefore, he doesn't hate what we have; he hates what we are. Be'etzem. And that's why he comes. And he invades foreign countries. Amalek did it right from the beginning. He came out from miles and miles and miles away to kill us. Not because of what we have. We had nothing at that moment. We were empty-handed. But because of what we are. However, I have 5 minutes left to look at another side. Namely, that's not all there is to Esav. After all, he is our twin brother. He came from the same mother. And Rivka quite rightly asked, Lomo Zeonachi. And what did she mean by Lomo Zeonachi? One interpretation is, if there is such a contradiction, such a fight going on between the two children in my womb, apparently we have a replay of Yishmael and Yitzchak, the antithesis between two brothers. But they came from two different mothers. Lomo ze anochi, why do they have to come from me? Why do they have to be born? Why does this be so close to the bone? She was very worried by it. So, therefore, she went and she inquired. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell her? That we're talking about Shnei Goyim, but it's spelled Goyim. It's spelled differently. It's not spelled in the Levov, it's spelled with two Yudim. Because there's a potential here of these two brothers. It can go very well, and Chazal remark on that very Pasuk, that this refers to, Rabbi and Antoninus. And in Rabbi and Antoninus we see the harmony and the living together of two brothers. Because they are our brothers. The Pope was right. But we are definitely the younger brother. He is definitely the older brother. And he has to know his place. It's a place where he can be happy, like Antoninus was happy. Who is an Oshia Somea Pachelka? It's for them as well. Now, where do we see this? We see this when Esav. Let me go a little bit. Yes, I have time. There is a very puzzling comment that Rashi makes when famously it says in the Pasuk Vayachal, Vayest, Vayokam, Vayelach, Vayivas Esav Esavachal, says Rashi there, Vayivas Esav, what does that mean? Heit hakosuf al rishal shebizo avodosa shalmoka. Because what's Bechal? What's being a firstborn? It means that you are a Kohen, that you have to do the avodah. The avodah falls on the shoulders of the firstborn. That is what Rashi means. He bizo es avodoso shel mokam. He was not interested in avodas Hashem. This is Esav. This is the essence of Esav. Esav is haliteni nomen avodam avodam. Say, give it to me now. I don't want to do anything for it. I can bring you a proof in a few minutes that I have. I can bring you a proof. When Esav went out to hunt for the animal that his father was going to eat, what did he do? He hunted for hours and hours and hours and hours. Why didn't he take the magical begodim that he had stolen, that begodim that are so incredible that if you wear them, the animals stop, you don't have to hunt at all, you can grab them. He always used those when he went out hunting. In this case, he didn't want to do it because of kibbutz of Ohem. He wanted to have an amelus. For once, he wanted to do an avodah. For once. Once in his life, he did an avodah. His mashma, never ever he did this. He was never interested in work. He was never interested in amelus. This is not Esav. Esav is halitainu minu adam adam. And now I want to have it. That, my friends, is the essence of exianity. I don't want to do any avodah. I don't want to do any mitzvahs. I don't want to have any obligations. I want to get my salvation on a platter, literally on a platter. You just take the wafer and swallow it. Finished. Off to heaven you go. There are internal critics within exianity itself. They call this the phenomenon of cheap grace. But it is all pervading in the society around us. It is the culture of instant gratification. Give it to me now. It is the short-termism of our politicians that is Malchus Edoim personified. Give it to me now. It is the phenomenon of the human rights without human obligations. This is the Yerusha that they have from their ancestor, from Esav. And that is the Malchus Edom from which we suffer. On the poster, I was announced with my shtelle. My shtelle is, I daven every morning in Canary Wharf Minyan, in Credit Suisse, at 6:30. We have a Shachis Minyan. 10 people, 11 people, 12 people. You know, it says that we are like sheep sent among 70 wolves. And the wolves are sometimes in sheep's clothes. But we are a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothes there, because we are part of this culture of instant gratification around us, and we try to salvage a little spot of Kedusha there in Armenia to form an antidote against the Malchus Edoim, the Koichi, the Ritzim Yodi that we see all around us there. I wish you a good Chodesh. Thank you.